Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast, episode 172.
Question for you.
Go for it.
Do you like football now again?
I honestly, I'm die hard fan.
Wow.
This is really interesting. So I was very lucky. So last week I went to the United Barcelona match at Old Trafford, mm-hmm. where we won 2-1. Atmosphere was genuinely electric. It was ridiculous. Sunday, dead excited. I woke up kind of potting around the house on Saturday afternoon. Like, I had a bit of a spring in my step. Do you know what I mean? I had a bit of a long weekend. I had Friday off. I'd spent time with the kids while they're off on half term. Sunday, potting around, I said to Claire, my wife, what are we doing tomorrow afternoon? Like, you know, United are on. And she went, we're going to a show. I went, what? She went, we've had this show booked in for months. We're going to Lion King with the kids.
Oh.
I'm like, you are joking. I'm like, what time does it start? She went 2:30. I said, what time does it finish? She went, I've got no idea. And she was a bit annoyed with me, granted, because a bit like probably you and many people listening, she's known me now for a long time, okay? 15 yeah. years. She's never known me to be one of those football fellas.
You've never known before, like, what colour Man United play in. You thought they were the yellow team for a long time, didn't you?
I thought Cantona still played for us. For me, honestly, I don't know what it is at the moment. And without question, hold my hands up, I am a United fan, but I'm definitely a Glory United fan.
Yes.
I am.
I think, yeah, no, that's true. But I think to be fair, I'm a Liverpool fan, so we're arch rivals. We're always fighting about this, aren't we? Scuffling after the podcast. Oh, you have me in a headlock.
Like that scene from Step Brothers.
But I'm the same. Liverpool this year aren't doing very well. And again, I'll hold my hands up also. You do lose a bit of interest, or I do anyway. I'm never, but equally, I think I'm a good level of football fan. I think you're probably similar. Where when they win and they're playing well, I'm happy. When they don't play well, I'm not like, it doesn't ruin my weekend.
No. You know what though? I'll give props to proper diehard fans. Certainly if you support a team that don't pick up loads of trophies.
Yes.
Because to go home, away, spend most of your weekends following a football team, takes dedication, doesn't it?
Indeed.
It's almost like every time going out, playing a round of golf and not even getting close to your ability, but going in week in, week out.
Sounds like you.
So, yeah, so I got a chance to watch the second half and obviously the goal.
Oh, so you didn't watch the first half?
I was at Lion King.
Oh, I didn't put that on your Instagram story when you were dancing around celebrating.
Well, yeah.
Never mind.
And at the moment, my daughters are doing my nutting. Because one of them claims to be a Liverpool fan.
Nice.
One of them claims to be a Bolton fan.
Oh, fair dues.
So.
Yeah, but I like that.
And I asked my little boy, he says, I support Lightning. Lightning. Like, who the hell are Lightning?
That's a new Live team. That's a new Live soccer franchise. But anyway, this is a golf podcast, but we do venture into other sports occasionally.
We
don't know a lot about other sports. Don't know great about golf, but we try our best. There was also last night in the world of YouTube. I'm sure a lot of people listening to this and watching this might pretend that they don't care, but they do deep down. Jake Paul and Tommy Fury fought. And I watched it. I paid for it. I'll hold my hands up. I'm not holding their hands up today, but I'll hold my hands up. I paid £20 sterling to watch Jake Paul and Tommy Fury because I am a sucker for the hype. That's one thing that I'm not the biggest boxing fan, but I'm a casual. I'm more than hardcore casual, if that makes sense. And I must admit, I pay for a lot of these big fights because the weeks and the days before it, I get absolutely suckered in by all the YouTube clips and the little interviews they're doing, and how you get two guys or girls, like obviously women's boxing is becoming huge now, and they're both so adamant they're going to win. And it's like, one of you's got to lose. And I almost can't comprehend it. If golf could get something like that, imagine how, like, if you had Tiger and John Rahm against each other going, no, I'm going to win. No, I'm going to win. No, you're not. I'm going to ruin your career. Well, it wouldn't work, but it would be exciting.
It probably brings us on to a very important topic. And if we think about the things that we've just got excited for there this weekend, the football, the boxing, it's the hype, it's the build-up. And sometimes the performance can be underwhelming, yeah, can't it?
Yeah, the boxing was, to be fair.
But the hype and the excitement and the interviews in the build-up. And I think in golf, the only time you're ever really getting that is for the Masters and the Open, mm-hmm, and the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
You could throw that in there as well. I think going back to our habits of humans watching sport and watching a lot of this entertainment, which is effectively what it is the hype. Mm-hmm. At the moment, there are four tours, however many tours you can think of in the golfing world. Genuinely, but this weekend, I honestly, and I probably should have watched more, I wasn't bothered about watching any, and wow, I hardly watched any golf this weekend.
Why weren't you bothered?
It just doesn't seem to excite me at the moment in certain spells. So last week I was saying how amazing the product is, and it is. When it's the right people at the right tour event, mm-hmm, I'm like so into it. When I'm watching John Rahm and Rory McIlroy and Scottie Scheffler battling it out and they're playing some of the best golf they can possibly play, I'm so into it. I really am. And when it's at a really cool venue, or when Tiger's obviously thrown into the mix, yeah, I love all that. At the moment, and we've spoke about this loads on the podcast, this week was the first tournament for LIV in 2023.
Yes.
It was in Mexico, and I said something stupid last week. It's a golf course that I've never heard of. Well, I didn't realise it was that golf course where they do the PGA Tour, where it's got a massive cave bunker, the whole man's up. I didn't know that.
That's the fourth hold of hands up.
Why didn't I watch any? Why was I not engrossed by it?
I can tell you why. Because, before we come on to on why that is, I've seen a few speculation, like almost videos around our videos, and some people saying how you're anti-Live and we're anti-Live. And it's, the good thing is, we're in a spot, like when you do a club review, where we are completely impartial. So if you next week decided actually you love Live and you'll be the biggest fan, that's okay. Or if you decide that the PGA Tour, no, that's the best tour, that's okay. Say that when you're reviewing a golf club or a golf ball, you're allowed to form an opinion. And I think on Live, my take on it is the fact that they have got some really good players. When you look at the list of the leaderboard, you've got Charles Howell, Peter Uihlein, Brandon Grace, Paul Casey, Cameron Smith. Looking at some of these names going right down, you've got real big, big, big names on there. But ultimately, it doesn't feel like it means anything when they win.
No.
So when you're talking then about the football, the reason you were so excited about that football wasn't the fact that Man U were playing Newcastle United, because that's a fairly exciting game, nothing, you know, but it's the fact that one of those teams, be like the boxing, is going to walk away with the silverware, and one of them are going to be sat on the pitch in tears.
Yep.
And that's football. That's football finals for you.
Same, like, say with boxing, you've got one who's lifting the belt and somebody who's
But even then, I mean, there was actually a belt for this fight, but it was a Mickey Mouse one. But even then, for me,
actually Mickey Mouse,
yeah, Michael Mouse. But for that, it was more the fact that they're so arrogant and cocky, which you have to be a boxer and confident. One's going to lose, and you can't. But the way they're talking so passionately into it, you can't believe it. So ultimately, there's something on the line, whether it be silverware or whether it be ego. Like when you're looking at Live Golf, yeah, there's millions of dollars on the line, and there's some made up team format on the line. But for me personally, and people watching sometimes get upset about this, if you love Live, that's fine. If you enjoy it, you're allowed to enjoy it. We're allowed to have other thoughts on it. There's no bias. It's just what we like or don't like. But it mean, like, does it mean anything that Charles Howell's won that event?
No. I must admit, and again, I live in the golf space. I can open up my phone and I'll go on Instagram and I can pretty much find out the results straight away. I had to even do quite a bit of digging to find out who actually won.
Well, so that
It wasn't super obvious. I know they've brought this app out now, which I have downloaded. I did also feel a little bit, I don't know, a bit disheartened the fact it wasn't as easy to watch as it was last year.
Well, yeah, so last year it was on YouTube straight away. Now you have to download the app, which is free, to be fair. So once you've downloaded the app, it is actually very easy to watch. You just need to click on live and then it starts playing. But yeah, it did feel like an extra barrier, even though it's not. And then weirdly, the app is called Live Golf Plus. And when you search for it, it doesn't actually come up until about the 12th app down, weirdly, which shouldn't make sense. But that was how I found it. It might have gone up the rankings, as obviously it's getting downloaded more. But yeah, I mean, you watch it, and I've heard rumours that is it a couple of players are almost regretting moving over there, which I don't know if that's true or not. They are just literally rumours. But the players, obviously, they're playing... supposed to be less golf. I've also heard, again, on Twitter, I don't know how true all these things are, but they actually really are tied in. They have to play 14 events a year, which they cannot miss. Then, obviously, they want to be playing the four majors. That's 18 events a year. One of the big reasons they all claimed to go over was less golf. They're actually going to be playing arguably as much golf, if not maybe more golf, potentially. So, I don't know.
I know there's lots of rumours about kind of Brooks Koepka seems to be the name that keeps getting thrown around, that he's not particularly... enjoying it. There's no fact to this. This is just what's been rumours. I'm pretty sure the PGA Tour would take at least the first player back like that.
You think?
1,000,000%. Because imagine like the PR piece on that. A LIV player has gone back to the PGA Tour. I mean, that is... For the PGA Tour, they're like, yes.
Would the LIV player have to give all the money back and just be like, right, there you go, there's
100%. Surely. They might not be able to. There might literally be a clause that says you cannot leave it, and then I don't know what they do. But yeah, I don't... For me, and again, I'm sure lots of comments and people, oh, buddy, oh, he's all about... It's not about PGA Tour. It's not about LIV for me. I like elements of both products. For me, as a fan, as a golf fan, I just want to watch the best products.
Yeah.
And it's not always available week in, week out.
Yeah.
It's just not... And as much as you can try and build up the hype, for me, I'm still not connected to a team. You know, I know we spoke about it last week on the podcast about that kind of bizarre advert with the little girl asking Phil Mickelson, who should I support? I look at the teams and I've got, you know, people are liking those in LIV, like Sam Horsfield, who we've had on the show. Mm-hmm. Like I could, you know, I think he plays for the Majestics. And Westwood, obviously I've had Westwood on the show before. But I'm not, I don't know, I don't seem to want to connect myself to a team.
I'd say I'm a similar boat, but kind of in playing devil's advocate, I can almost understand how people would. If you have got, or if your favourite player is a DJ, he is, for whatever reason, DJ's your favourite player, you're probably going to gravitate towards him. Or if there's two or three guys in one team who are all kind of in you're the guy that usually might bet on or you like or whatever, then maybe you would. But yeah, it does feel like, because it's, quite strange that, like you said before, your children and football, you typically with football, you grow up supporting who your parents kind of tell you to support or where you live. Or there's a reason why you support that team, isn't there? And you almost don't even know that reason often.
Well, I even asked the girls, I said, why are you supporting Liverpool and football? And both times it was because of friends at school.
Yeah, but there's a reason, isn't there, why? Whereas, like, think about these new teams have been just made up from nowhere. It's quite strange just to support a team. However, you know, on that... You might have a bloke or a woman or whatever who's in their 40s, 30s, whatever, who's watching it with the young child who's 5 or 6. And they might say, oh, let's support Majestics. And that child now is going to grow up supporting Majestics. It's quite strange to see something start from the beginning because I didn't see the Premier League. Well, the Premier League formed when I was like 2, I think. But I didn't see the Football League form however many hundreds of years ago, ever it was. And we didn't see the PGA Tour form. That was well before our time.
Or Ryder Cup.
Yeah, to actually see something start from the beginning.
Like, did the Ryder Cup, and I'm pretty sure it didn't, it wouldn't have had a strong connection with people when it first started.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like, I can't imagine people really supporting.
Well, these things grow off the history, don't they? So yeah, if you ever watch the promotional stuff for the Ryder Cup or for the Open, the biggest thing they leverage is the history. You see the black and white images, you see the people lifting the claret jug or the Ryder Cup, whatever. And that all builds into the narrative and to the story. Without that narrative or story, it's all fresh. So I do feel like we are a bit harsh on LIV in some regard because it's new. Like in 4 or 5 years' time, it might have built a bit more legacy, a bit more story. It's hard right now, but all we could speak about is our personal kind of tastes and what we like. And I'm just not really a huge fan. I did try over the weekend to watch it a number of times and kind of found myself watching a bit and then kind of just dipping off. And
I think the other thing as well, like everything we've spoke about right there, not once have we actually talked about the golf.
No.
Do you know, and with any other event, it'd be like, did you see that shot that John Rahm hit? And did you see this? And did you? We actually end up not, with LIV, it's almost like everything but the golf.
Yeah.
Really. yeah, I'm, you know, I feel like it should succeed. It's got all the ingredients, but the moment it's just not quite ticking every box.
You're very interested in 2 years' time.
Exactly.
See where it's at.
And I might be sat here going, bloody hell, I can't believe I used to ever say that. Well, I'm not particularly bad-mouthing it, but I'm not exactly like engrossed in it just yet.
You might be a Liv Break 75 tour.
Could be. Oh, we could have a Rick Shields team.
Yeah.
See, would people support that?
Potentially.
Thanks for your encouragement.
Speaking of Break 75, though, on Friday, we've had a couple of contenders for the best Break 75 video ever in terms of just the whole vibe. Not so much what you scored, but just the vibe. I think you and Iona at Crail was a contender for that. And arguably the new number one heavyweight contender is you, Ryan Ruffles, Isleworth. Went live on Friday. It's doing very, very well. Thank you so much, everyone's watched it and left feedback and enjoyed it. The viewing figures, it's had like, what's it had, 550,000 views, yeah. Over 500,000 views in a couple of days. And these videos are long as well. So it's great to see people are enjoying the kind of longer form videos. But I think if that was a cake, that video,
it's fine.
It had every ingredient necessary. So it had good golf.
Yep.
It had Ryan.
The good golfer. The good from golfer. Ryan.
It had an amazing golf course. It had amazing, sun. I think that's a big thing. It had great scenery. It had great videography. It had great editing. It had great presenter.
Thanks.
That was your role in it. No, it was really, really good. What do you think?
Genuinely, it probably took me a while to appreciate how much I loved Isleworth. Like when we're in America in January, I had a number of amazing golf courses lined up, and we've kind of teased a lot of them in this podcast. So Isleworth, Bay Hill, which is out next week, and obviously Sawgrass as well. And it would have been quite easy in those three courses for Isleworth to almost get lost a bit.
Yeah,
you know, the more I thought about it, and even when I watched the video back, it was. The quality of the golf course was just outstanding.
Did look really
good. Like the first tee, how the stripes on that first tee were just epic. Ryan was really, really good. I've kind of really started to be looking. Truth be told, I didn't know a great deal about Ryan.
I'd heard of him, to be honest. But I didn't know because he was a Nike player, I think. Yeah. He's got the method putter.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, he said he'd never swap that out.
Putter.
He even asked me, because I think I've got a spare one of those.
I've got one at home.
And he said, if I ever need one, I'll pinch it off you because I love this putter. And his sister is a really good player as well, Gabby Ruffles. She's also a Nike athlete. And
wow,
kind of,
I didn't know that.
She's doing really well. And when I contacted Isleworth, and to be fair, actually, this is a bit of a weird flex, but I don't mean it to be. It was actually a connection through Tommy Fleetwood, which is very nice. And
huge flex.
And we went and played, and I genuinely didn't realise I was going to be playing with anyone on that day, because originally, because obviously you couldn't make it over because you just had a little baby.
Correct.
I'd then asked friend of the show, Iona, because I knew she was in America, but she couldn't continue her trip in America to join us. So that day I was a bit like, I'm a bit of a loose end. Who am I going to play with? I actually put something out on social media saying, is anyone in the area to play around the golf with? And, you know, I was hoping that, you know, a big name tour pro or a fan of the channel would...
Tiger, this is what you were hoping for. Tiger was driving down the highway. And Charlie's on his phone scrolling on Instagram. He's never off his bloody phone, is he, Charlie? He goes, hey, Dad, Rick Shields is here at Isleworth. He's like, okay, son, let's go and do it. And next thing they just turn up.
So that's what I was fishing for. However, I actually got a response by Ryan, said, oh, I'm with you today. I'm playing with you. I was like, oh, amazing. So Isleworth had actually set it up because he plays there. And they wanted someone to chaperone me around.
Yes.
To make sure I didn't get lost or do anything naughty.
Filling those huge divots down the green.
Listen, I know a lot of people, and I just want to clear up any real rumours right now. Me and Ryan aren't twins.
No.
As much
I
as...
I think people thought you were his dad, not his twin. You're deluded, Rick.
As much as I got a lot of comments and messages saying, wow, are you guys twins? Is that your Australian twin?
You look more like his weird uncle. Ryan's really cool guy. His uncle always follows him. Like, Ryan, how old is Ryan?
He's like 26 or something.
No, I think he's even younger than that.
Oh, is he?
He might 23? Well, I don't know. I'll have to have a look. But he like goes to these cool parties. And everyone's like, hey, Ryan, Ryan's that freshman who's really good at golf on the golf team. And then you turn up, his weird uncle's always there.
Oh, yeah, he's 24.
And how old are you?
older than
you're
24.
You're not twins, yeah. You're his weird uncle.
I said to Claire, my wife, I said, oh, I played with a young Australian lad the other day. She went, I know, I saw him on Instagram. I went, oh, right, did you?
Followed him?
I said, I said, a lot of people are saying we're brothers, and she kind of looked at me and went, no, I don't see it. Thanks, love. No, but Ryan was awesome. A lot of people fancy a Ryan versus James Robinson match.
Fair dues. I think, no respect to James Robinson, it's going one way, though. I think so. Ryan.
It's almost like we've found like an American / Australian version of James Robinson.
Yes.
But we're hoping Ryan does really, really well. He was class on the video. Next week, Friday, not even that, next week, this week, Friday, possibly the hardest golf course I've ever played in my life.
Wow.
Where the actual PGA Tour are playing this week.
Wow.
Bay Hill.
Wow.
Arnold Palmer's golf course. Mr. Palmer's golf course. On the outset, beautiful.
Yep.
Stunning. But it's bloody a nasty beast.
A nasty beast.
I played it off the back tee, 7,700 yards. I played with Mr. Palmer's son-in-law.
Nice.
Which was really amazing experience as well, hearing some of the stories. They treated us amazingly well. Really did. Me and the full team treated us really, really well. And it was bloody hard. If you miss the fairway, you cannot, I think I might have said this in the podcast, you can't hit anything less lofted than an 8-iron.
No fun.
So literally, you're like chipping out, and the greens were just
fast, I actually don't know what you shot.
Hard, difficult.
So it's got break 95 written all over.
I don't know. I might have lost count. I think I just stopped counting.
It's just a vibe anyway.
I'll give you a little indication. I don't break 75.
Oh.
Sorry to spoil it for everybody listening.
Another news burst in the woods. quick note on Mr. Palmer. Is one of your goals in golf to get to the point where you're known as Mr. Shields? Would that be really like...
I think so.
What age do you have to be to be a Mr.? Like, you're not... For example, you're not saying... If you met Tiger Woods, it's not Mr. Woods. I think it's still Tiger, let's be honest. Mr. Nicklaus, hold the hands up. Okay. Yeah. Why are we holding our hands up, by the way?
Mr. Palmer. Mr. Player.
I don't think even it's Mr. Fowler because you're throwing the Sir Nick in.
I did do a Mr. Watson when I met him, and he corrected me.
Said Thomas.
I said, T-Dub. Just call me Tom.
The original T-Dub. So what we're going to be looking at 70 years old. So you're going to be in the industry.
Have you got to be a granddad?
Yeah, I like that.
I feel like a granddad. Yeah, and then you can be called Mr.
If you've
done really, really well and you're a granddad, Mr.
Where would Mr. Shields reside? St. Andrews? Or America? Would you sell your soul and move over there?
I'd sell my soul. I'd comfortably move to America.
I'm not selling my soul about it. No, I see you in... you could be like the modern-day old Tom Morris.
Yeah.
You could live above the old Tom Morris shop, the open shop as it is
now.
Sounds
good to me. I could definitely see myself living in the future in St. Andrews.
Smoking a pipe.
In like some sort of nursing home when I'm there. Putting on old videos, VHS. Hey, go and check out this. Go and check out this Isleworth video I did.
Mr. Shields, I've seen that illegal driver 6 times. It's no funny the first 6 times.
Look, they used to say I look like Ryan. Can you see it? That was literally you that used to say you look like Ryan.
Yeah.
I could definitely see myself living the rest of my life in the future as Mr. Shields in St. Andrews.
Nice.
Rocking up on a Saturday morning.
Little Sunday bag.
Sunday bag, like just a little pipe and a little driver, 150 yards.
Yeah.
And like,
I think that'd do your game better.
It would.
Just a little poker, just pokes it down there.
I can just go in right, like if I played that way and just managed to like get round in 74 every time.
I think if you had a driver that you just thin it along the floor, bullets it for like 180, you've got like a little weird 7-wood that's like that old graphite on the shaft coming off a bit, but you just like it, a thin grip that's warm, but you just like it, just don't change it. And then you have like a 7-iron pitching wedge, a chipper.
100%.
And you've got a bull. Do you remember the type of bullseye putters, like a mini golf one that you can use both sides? Because you've got this weird thing where you put with your left hand, left-handed sometimes.
It's a left to right.
Yeah, weird quirk.
I'll tell you what, can I have you a bet? A future bet? Okay. Or like a...
If I win, you delete your YouTube channel.
Not so much a bet, but it's going to be a long way down the line. Not a bet, but a challenge.
Go on then.
Okay.
Who can live
the longest? I challenge you, the first player to beat their age.
Oh, wow. Fucking heck.
So the first player to shoot less than their age.
That's going to be a long time away. Well, you can. Your best score is 81, so you've
got... But imagine being able to do that.
That'd be, people can. It's impressive.
Yeah, that'll be, I think, as a longevity piece. Why do you want to continue to improve in at golf? Well, one day, I want to beat my age.
What's the ideal age to beat your age? I've got a number in my head, I think, is the ideal age. Like the real...
I'd probably say 80.
No, I think 67.
All right, okay.
Do you not think someone at 67 could shoot 67?
Well, you have to beat it.
All right, then the 68 and shoot 67.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Because I feel like if you're 80, to shoot 79 is unbelievably impressive. Now, if you're 68, shooting 67 is still very, very impressive. But I can imagine you're off scratch and you just plod it along and one day you shoot a 3, 4, 5.
Everything goes in.
Everything goes in. If you, but having said that, what if you were a fresh 90, shoot 89? I don't know. I need to get a fresh 90-year-old.
Every decade, you've got to beat your age.
Yeah.
Starting from 70.
That'd actually be a really good video. Get a 70, good, really good 70-year-old, 80-year-old, 90-year-old and see if you can beat their age.
Let's do it.
If
you are a 70, 80, 90 or 100-year-old, contact the show and we'll get you on.
Speaking of scores, there's a guy on Twitter that we've talked about before, kind of off camera, called Lou Stagner. And he's kind of, his name on Twitter is Lou Stagner, and then brackets Golf Stat Pro. So that gives you an insight into what he does. A lot of people listening or watching will maybe have seen his tweets. A lot of them go quite big because I think he uses Arcos and he really dives through stats and he brings them to Twitter in kind of really simple form and they are eye-opening. And I think I have found the secret to getting better at golf for our listeners. Now, I already kind of knew this, but...
Let me get my notepad out because I could do with this as well.
To get better at golf, you don't need to improve your good stuff.
What?
You need to stop the severely bad stuff, right? Let me show you this stat. You ready for this? It's mind-blowing. Yep. Scratch handicap golfers average 1.8 more birdies per round compared to an 18 handicapper. Let that sink in. Scratch players are 18 shots better, obviously, but they only average 1.8 birdies more per round. The secret to lower scores is not more birdies.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift-giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Less bogeys.
Less bogeys and less nonsense.
Is that what it says?
Well, think about that. So I've read that a few times. At first I was like, wow. And the more I thought about it, it amazed me. If you've got an 18 handicapper on the first tee and you've got a scratch golfer, I don't know the stats on this. It'd be good to have the actual insight. But I reckon on average, an 18 handicapper probably gets zero or one birdies around. I don't know the answer. But let's even say they get one. They make a two on the second hole, whatever. That then means that the scratch handicapper has to get 2.8 birdies per round. Well, that's not surprising. But there's 18 strokes difference. So it's clear to see that where the 18 handicapper is messing up is obviously the bogeys and stuff and the double bogeys. That's how you get better at golf.
Well, when it's broken down like that, and Lou's brilliant on Twitter, he did some stuff, really interesting stuff around the when the event was at Scottsdale recently, the 16th hole, the par three, and it showed like where an 18 handicapper would hit it, mm-hmm. and like so many of them would be in the stands, yeah. and everything. It's mad. But with that, it would make total sense. I can imagine a scratch handicapper having two birdies, mm-hmm. two bogeys, and 14 pars.
Yeah.
They could do that. Like, that is what scratch golfers do on the regular basis, where it wouldn't surprise me. Oh, they might have three birdies, three bogeys. An 18 handicapper, like you said, can easily pick up a birdie. They might birdie the easiest hole on the golf course, a bit of great drive, fumble it up to 6 feet and knock it in. But you're right, the chances then they're going to follow it up with a double.
Well, that's
a bogey, you know, five in a row, six in a row.
100%. On the flip side, a kind of similar thing. You could also imagine, I know it doesn't always happen like this, but a scratch golfer could literally go out and shoot 18 pars and go, oh yeah, I shot level today. I actually got 18 pars. I mean, it's not going to happen very often, but it could happen. But equally, you very rarely would imagine an 18 handicapper to get 18 bogeys. Because the argument, if you're an 18 handicapper, you can make pars and you will make pars every round. You might make half a dozen, you might make whatever. But you're also going to make big mistakes. And even I do, I'm better than that handicap. But I go out and make a load of pars and have a triple or go out of bounds or whatever. So it's like, if you can eradicate those real high numbers, you don't need loads of birdies. You just need to stop the high numbers.
So what's his prescription?
Make less doubles.
Okay. The thing is that's the fact of it. But the actual, it's easy to make a double bogey.
It is.
Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, we're good at it.
Like, it's not, it takes one bad shot to get a double bogey.
Out of bounds, and then you've got to actually par your next ball. So a double bogey with an out of bounds is actually good, really, because you've parred it, essentially.
I think the slightly easier skill is, like I say, turning a handful of bogeys into pars.
Yes.
Because again, that's where great players, even if they hit a bad tee shot, they'll hit a good second shot up near the green and get up and down, or they'll hit the green in two, and they won't three putt. They'll two putt more often than they'll three putt. Even when they've got into trouble, they might play the way out rather than going for the hero shot and getting it back into position and getting on the green and two putting. I feel like making pars, when you really, really think about it and break it down, it's just making sure you don't hit any of those really, really horrendous shots.
Well, that's the thing. And with golf, there's levels to the game, as we know. So like when you play with a Ryan Ruffles or you play with someone even better than that or whatever, they will wow you with the ball striking ability. That's just a fact. They will hit golf shots that you and I just can't hit, or, you know, it might take us 100 goes to do it once or whatever. They will be very, very sharp around the green and they will impress you. That's just a fact. I found when I've had a scratch handicappers at like kind of club level, who are very good at a local golf club level, but once you kind of move out of that, aren't really amazing, but they're still very good at club level. They actually often don't massively wire you. There's a guy at my club, and I won't name him on here, but he was a good guy, really, really lovely guy. And he was a scratch golfer, and I played with him several times, different years in the club championship, and every year he beat me. And this was like my prime of like four handicap at 17, 16, the golf was my life, and I was quite a good ball striker, and I was quite long and all this stuff, well longer than this guy in question. And every year he beat me, and most years he won club championship, and he'd almost hit it off the tee, a bit thin, but like kind of straight. He'd hit iron shots to the greens that very rarely wowed you, but just hit the green, like maybe 40 foot away. He'd then roll up a 40 footer to inside the dustbin lid cliche, and then knock it in, and he'd just kind of do that all the way around, and it used to almost, not annoy me because it wasn't the big thing, but it was almost a little bit annoying that like I was felt like I was hitting it better than him. I was better out of bunkers than him. I'd do more kind of shots that looked better, but he just got the ball around. And that's the thing at club level, if you want to be a decent club golfer, it's not about being incredibly talented, is it? It's just about not making ridiculous mistakes.
That person would have been hard to beat at match play.
Very hard to beat, because you've got to be birdieing holes to beat him.
And as soon as you make a mistake, he's going to win the hole back anyway.
100%. And that's the thing. It's like, but my golf's in a terrible place. I've been to the range a few times recently and I'm really, really, really struggling. I don't know why. I've lost a lot of confidence as well.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a bit good about it. But anyway, don't worry about me.
Do you want to talk about it?
Yes. No. I just lost confidence. I think I don't play as much as people probably think. I only play in the break 75s, really. But I do go to the range quite a lot. But yeah, I just started spraying it and I've got no confidence. And yeah, that's not good.
Oh.
Anyway, forget about me. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that at all. I had an adventure on Friday. While you were off gallivanting,
I was
spending your day off with your kids. So whatever you're doing,
spending quality time with my family.
Yeah, whatever. Boring. No, I'm glad you had a good day. Very, very well earned.
To be honest, I was quite hungover from the match on Thursday.
That's the thing. Well, that is the problem. When you're a hardcore football fan like you are, you know, family days are great, but they are going to come with a hangover because you watched the football the night before.
And obviously, I did it the way a fan should do it. Went early.
Free ticket.
Got to start from the beginning. Got to the pub.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Scarf. No. In the terraces, eating a pie and an overly priced watered down pint.
You swanned in the VIP section because your mate got you a ticket with your prawn sandwich.
I must admit, it was a very nice experience.
Drinking tea.
Drinking red wine. And thing is, though, I might not say it on the actual podcast because I'm not sure if it might be illegal. No, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
I might have broken a law, but nothing crazy, nothing to get arrested by, but just something that was not the done thing. But I think it is done by everybody, but not verbally. Okay. The way of drinking all the way through the match. But anyway, we'll talk about that.
Right, okay. Well, anyway, on Friday, when you were, again, gallivanting, doing whatever you're doing with your family and chilling, I went on a little trip just on my own. Just me and my car. And I went to a golf show. So, as you well know...
Oh, like Orlando?
No, I didn't go to Orlando.
EJ.
Some of us kids to look after.
Someone cares about the family, Rick.
I went to Bunkered Live, which is a golf show in Birmingham, which I've been to once last year, and then we went to Bunkered Live in Glasgow. So I think they host two a year, one in Birmingham, and I think this year it's not going to be Glasgow, it's Edinburgh, I believe. And Bunkered is a Scottish media golf publication. They have a magazine and a bit of online content and stuff like that, and they host a golf show. And it's nothing compared to the PGA show, obviously, in America, which is absolutely astronomical. I've not been, but I've heard from you and seen videos. It's massive. The Bunkered one is NEC, and it's one of the kind of convention halls. And I went down just for a bit of, well, I went down to meet a couple of people, a couple of old friends and a few people I've not seen for a while. But also I thought it's always good to see and to be where, and you've said this before, where golfers are, just to see what golfers are seeing, because we're very fortunate in a sense that like we get sent the latest and greatest product by all the manufacturers to review. But a lot of people don't see it, obviously, until it hits the shelves. Clearly, that's how it works. So these places like this, when they're early on in the year, are a great way for golfers, you know, golf enthusiasts, consumers to go and see the Paradigm, the Stealth 2, the Cobra Driver, blah, 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 and hit some and try them out. And to be fair, it was quite a decent event. There was every manufacturer you can think of was there, like an indoor driving range bay thing. There was loads of people queuing up to hit products. And obviously, it was quite an excitable vibe because a lot of people, again, haven't seen these products in the flesh yet. Titleist had some really cool stuff. They had again, you could hit all the clubs, had like a longest drive, FootJoy had all the shoes out. And it was quite cool. And it was very nice. A number of people, obviously fans and followers of the channel, came up to me and said they loved the videos. A lot of love for Break 75.
Brilliant.
Which is good to hear. But a lot of people, again, it still surprises me, but said like, oh, I love the videos, whatever. And I got into watching Rick. I've only been playing golf a year, but I love all the videos. And it's just mad that how many people are still, and this is great, still starting to play golf and new to the game and very, very early on, they go to YouTube, find, you know, your videos and other golf creators' videos. And that's really kind of what sticks with them. So
it's almost part of their pathway, isn't it?
Well, that's it. And not kind of blowing our own trumpet or, again, other golf creators' trumpet. But if you think about it, if you started golf today and you were 25, 32, even 40, whatever age it might be, you know, you already would know who Tiger Woods is, clearly. But you go on a journey within golf where you learn who different players are. You might learn who obviously Tommy Fleetwood is, you learn a bit of the history of the game, you do a little bit of research, you watch a bit of golf, and whatever, however kind of hardcore you want to go with that. But ultimately, you go on a kind of a journey from A to B where you start to become more of a golfer and increase your golf knowledge. But what's interesting with that, I think for a lot of people now, YouTube is the first port of call, whether it be for anything, whether you're starting a fitness journey, whether you want to know how to repair your car keys, you put a new battery in it, whatever it might be, YouTube is people's first port of call. So if in reality, if you did start golf today or last year, whatever it was, that some of these guys were saying, they would find your videos and again, other creators' videos as early on as they would start to know who a Tommy Fleetwood is or even maybe, a, I don't know, Bryson or whatever is. It's quite mad that, isn't it?
Yeah. I know for a fact, and I'm pretty sure you've been the same. When we were growing up, when I first started playing golf at pretty much 11, I would have loved YouTube.
Yes, absolutely.
I would have consumed it like crazy. Because for me, it's what we did, and we spoke about this on the podcast before, it's what we did with golf magazines.
Yeah.
I almost had subscriptions to every golf magazine and I binge them. Yeah. Like, as soon as they come, I'd like binge read them.
Don't come in, mum. Don't come in, mum. There's a new Pro V1.
I'm definitely looking at golf magazines. But yeah, it's like, it's that side of like, I feel like I'd really immerse myself in that experience. And it's an exciting time for golf. And, you know, I'm really proud of golf YouTube as it's grown. And, you know, we've got like, I mean, it's over 1,000 golf YouTube channels now. Which is beyond belief. All doing their own little kind of niche content, and everything is different. Like, and you know, if you're not the biggest fan of the videos that I produce, there's other creators out there that you might be more fond of. Which, whatever. But then also, you know, there's space and there's room for all different types of content creators.
Yeah.
You know, whether you want, you know, exciting and you know, energetic young lads like Good, or you want Bob the Sports that kind of brings this kind of almost humor, American humor to it, or whether it's our videos where we go and playing these amazing golf courses and kind of showing you the journey of playing golf, or hopefully trying to get better, or the reviews. Golf is in a good spot, isn't it?
I'd like to think so. And again, that's why it was so cool to be at this event. There were so many people, there was, again, all the major brands were there. There was then like footwear brands. There was some clothing brands with like activations where you could have a go again out of a bunker that was obviously indoor and you could win a prize and stuff. There was obviously food available. Hot, like it was quite a cool place. And obviously I'm fortunate that I've been to these things kind of many a time. So no disrespect to Bunkered Live at all. I kind of went and although I thought it was good, I wasn't blown away by it because of just kind of what I expected it to be. And that's not a negative thing. That's just, it was what I thought it would be. But again, some of the guys I was speaking to that were newer golfers, like one lad was like, it's unbelievable. He went, everywhere you turn, there's something to do and whatever. And I thought, you know what? If you imagine, again, if you are quite new to golf, you've been playing 12 months or whatever, and obviously also we had COVID before that thing, these things weren't happening. And you go to an event like that and you see all this in real life the first time, all these brands and all this different stuff going on. I bet it is quite overwhelming, but it was good. It was a good event. It's always nice to see the people that watch the videos as well. We're very fortunate. We obviously with Rick's Break 75s and the whole channel in general, there's thankfully so many subscribers, so many viewers, and with the podcast as well. But you do unfortunately just see them as a number, don't you? You see a number on a screen and like, you know, Rick's 75 Isleworth had 500,000 views. Great. But that's like, obviously, 500,000 people. It's Old Trafford sold out 8 times over or whatever.
Well, I took Sam, our kind of production manager, and to the match. And we were looking, and again, this it was 78,000 fans in Old Trafford. In fact, Matt was there. Podcast Matt went.
Podcast Matt.
Because now he's a massive United fan.
Yeah.
And Harry was there.
Oh, it's a big United team, this, isn't it?
And you look in there and you think, this is packed, 78,000 people in here. Like, say, what, 6-7 times the amount of people have already watched Isleworth.
That's insane. Very, very, very lucky, very fortunate. And we've got some great fans. Speaking of fans, I did actually ask on Facebook this morning for questions for the podcast. And there's good and there's bad news, Rick, unfortunately. So the bad news is I don't think we're going to get time to do them today because we need to actually go. We've got something on. We've got a very important meeting shortly. However, we are, this next week's podcast will be out on Tuesday, as always, but we are going to record it Friday, aren't we? It's in the diaries, recording it a little bit early. The downs, the good news and bad news, the good news is that means there'll be a podcast out next Tuesday. So people, don't worry, you're not going to miss your podcast. We have to do it on Friday because I'm off on Monday and different things going on. The potential downside of the Friday podcast is we might miss what happens at the weekend. So if something cool happens, we'll miss it. But the bonus is we've got loads of cool questions from the Facebook groups. We are going to dive through a load of those.
Give us three quickly.
Three quickly. What's your favourite cheese from Luke Waldron? You asked for three, that's your one.
To be honest, it's a mixture between cheddar and brie.
Cheddar and brie. Miles Mag Inti, McGinty says, does Guy salute your steak well done? Yes, I do. I have my steak well done. That's how I like my steak. And if you don't like how I like my steak, I don't care. Leave a comment down below kicking off and slagging me off. I don't care. It's how I like my steak. Rick Shields, question for you. Andy Buckley-Taylor, my youngest son is left-handed and interested in taking up golf. Why do shops have so little in for lefties?
It's just the demand. Certainly for kids
as well. It's tough.
It's really, you know, it's not an excuse. It's just quite literally demand.
Yeah. There's actually at Silvermere Golf Club down in Surrey, there's a really good left-handed shop. But again, trying to find left-handed for juniors and ladies is even harder. Dan Bott, is Rick going to do a what's in the bag video? We did discuss this, but you've told me that things might be changing.
Things are going to be changing. Wow. Not happy with what's in my bag right now, so I need to change.
And then a big one, maybe to leave on, Rick. I've got a good...
Ollie,
what... that's literally the one I had.
Wilkie.
About. Yes. Yeah, I'll let you go with that.
Right, Ollie's
huge
asked,
news. Set it up.
When is the review channel going live with content?
Wow.
Well, that's very interesting you asked that question, Ollie, because you might hear a rumbling of noises going on in the background of this podcast, very faintly, if you really listen. And that is a rumbling of a new review studio having its final touches manicured.
Oh, wow.
Sprinkled in.
A little bit of salt.
The review channel,
ooh, yeah,
I've seen people say...
Punch the desk again.
I've seen people say the review channel's dead.
Yeah, I reckon if you do one more hard night, you could break the desk.
I've heard people say the review channel is...
Oh, wow.
...dead. And that it was a non-starter. Well, we'll have you know, we might have just announced it a little bit too quickly.
No, the review channel is happening.
Basically, we had this idea of the review channel. Me and Guy are excited puppies sometimes, and we kind of went, yeah, the review channel, let's do it.
Tell everyone.
And then we kind of launched this channel and then was like, oh yeah, maybe it's not going to be quite as quick as we expected. So the review channel is coming soon. We're recruiting a brand new equipment editor for it as well. And on that channel, you are going to see weekly reviews, multiple equipment reviews every single week. From irons, wedges, balls, putters, drivers, everything.
Beers, Friday
beer
beers, review.
Everything. And the studio is looking phenomenal. The first video that's going to be launched on that channel is a brand new studio tour.
I think that's going to be on main channel.
Oh, was it?
I thought so.
All right. Well, then the first video you'll see on the review channel
will be a
review.
Well, I don't know. Well, that's a conversation. I was thinking, yeah. Because the big channel, the main channel, we want to show everyone what we've got, what you're working with.
I'll tell you what then, last thing, it's currently on 47,900 subscribers.
Wow.
Let's get it to 50,000 before next podcast.
Well, that'd be incredible. That would be lovely. Yeah, but...
It's coming.
We do sometimes, and we are doing this tongue in cheek, we big our things up and we get excited about stuff and we talk a good game. But honest to God now, this new studio, which is 80% done, maybe even a little bit more... It's like nothing you've probably ever seen before, nothing I've ever seen before, and I'm lucky enough to have seen some amazing things in the world of golf. It's going to be great, and if you like club reviews, it's going to be a lot more club reviews coming. If you want to see Rick get better at golf, you're also in for a treat because he's going to be hitting a lot more golf balls.
If you love seeing me shoot high 80s, then I'm really sorry. It might only happen twice a year from moving forward. It might still happen.
Yeah, that's...
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen a lot more.
Guys, thanks for watching, listening. Be sure to like, subscribe, check out all of the other podcasts if you've not listened to them already. Big video out Friday, Bay Hill. There's a video out yesterday, 7 ways to get better at golf without even practicing.
Can I have one more before this video ends? I want to give one little final thought of wisdom for people this week now. They're finishing the run, they're finishing in the car, they're putting the baby to bed, they're doing whatever, washing up, and they think, right, that was a good podcast. It's over now, annoyingly. There's only 40 seconds left. I can see the timer going down. Without Googling it, give me a really cool piece of wisdom that people can go to bed on.
Okay. Well, quick one.
Come
on. One sec.
Just think, he's not Googling it. If you're listening to this podcast, don't worry, Rick is not Googling. He's just thinking. He's using his huge brain just to think.
I've got a really good quote, but I need to Google it. God, where is it? Sorry, one second.
Can I do mine?
No, then? No. Right, it's coming.
Any minute.
It's coming.
Don't keep saying that.
I like this one. Right.
Please don't keep saying that.
Right. Do you Do you ever hear a shark complain?
No.
No. Because they're up early, biting stuff, chasing being scary, and reminding everyone they're a shark.
Oh my God.
I've always liked that quote.
Yeah. I thought something a little bit more like, comparison is a thief of joy.
We'll see you next week, everyone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.